Okay, we're in business. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to City Hall Council Chambers for tonight's public hearing. It is October the 24th, 2013. We have quorum of council, so I will call this meeting to order and ask the clerk for the roll call, please.
Mayor Robertson's in the chair. Councillor Affleck. Councillor Ball. Present. Councillor Carr. Here. Councillor Deal. Present. Councillor Jang. Here. Councillor Lewis, absent. Councillor Meigs. Here. Councillor Reimer. Here. Councillor Stevenson. Here. And Councillor Tang. Here. Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Council, we need a motion to go into Committee of the Whole to get started. Councillor Deal moves. Seconder for that. Councillor Reimer, all those in favor? Any opposed? That carries. So we are officially in Committee of the Whole. And welcome again, everybody. Good to see lots of people here. To start things off, we have two items on our agenda this evening. And we have 28 speakers for the first registered and 15 speakers for the second, both are rezonings. And maybe I'll start with just a few announcements regarding speakers. In terms of the process at public hearing, we will hear from our staff with an overview, a presentation on each of the items, followed by some opening comments from the applicant team. Round of questions for council to staff and the applicant team. And then we hear from speakers who are here to address council. And speakers have 5 minutes to make their comments and should limit their comments to the merits of the report that is being considered by council. We ask that speakers also state whether they are in support or opposed to the recommendations. And you have an opportunity to speak once. If you have more comments, additional comments can be submitted in writing either to the clerk on paper or to Vancouver, mayorandcouncil@vancouver.ca. And if anyone is here speaking on behalf of three or more people or three or more organizations, you can let me know. Once we ascertain who you're speaking on behalf of here, you get three extra minutes to make those comments. Also, you may have questions from council. If you complete your remarks, I'll give you a heads up. If you have questions from council, councillors have the opportunity to ask questions. You don't have to answer the questions if you don't wish to, but you may have more time at the mic to answer questions as they arise. Finally, if council does not conclude hearing from all the speakers this evening, we will recess and reconvene the meeting on Tuesday, October the 29th at 6 p.m. here in Council Chamber. That's our backup evening for this public hearing. And there's lots of speakers to hear from, so I would say there's a pretty good chance of that happening, depending on how many more speakers we have in addition to those who are registered. So we should just get right to it. Why don't we start with Madam Clerk reading the application on item number one, which is rezoning on Howe, Granville, and Pacific. If you will read the application and summary of correspondence received, please.
Yes, this is an application by Dialogue to rezone 1412 to 1480 Howe Street, 1429 Granville Street, and 710 Pacific Street from Falls Creek Comprehensive Development to Comprehensive Development District to permit two mixed-use buildings with 407 market strata units, 98 secured market strata units, and retail, service, and office uses, and also to rezone 1410 Granville Street from BC Place Expo to Comprehensive Development District to permit a commercial building containing retail, service, and office uses. The General Manager of Planning and Development Services recommends approval subject to the conditions set out in the summary and recommendation of the public hearing agenda. Council has received 56 emails and letters in support, 7 opposed, and 2 other since this application was referred to public hearing. This represents all correspondence received on this application by the City Clerk's Office up to 5 p.m. today.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And we have Karen Huza here, who's our Senior Rezoning Planner, on behalf of the Rezoning Center to present the application. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Councillors. The presentation. The staff report before you recommends approval of this rezoning application for a mixed-use development on these sites. There's a long list of addresses here, 1412 to 1460 Howe Street, 1410, 1429 Granville Street, and 710 Pacific Street. The form of development is supported, and staff have found that the proposal is generally consistent with council policies and that it contributes towards a number of city objectives. In my presentation, I will briefly describe the site and proposal, what we have heard from the neighborhood, and what public benefits would be generated. Bounded by Pacific Street, Howe Street, and Beach Avenue, the sites are located adjacent to and under the Granville Bridge and the Seymour and Howe ramps, street ramps. The rezoning would result in the reconfiguration of the lands, resulting in two rezoning sites, one west of Granville Street, including 1412 to 1480 Howe Street, 1429 Granville, and 710 Pacific, and the other one east of Granville Street, 1410 Granville Street. So you can see A and B are one site, the triangle to the east is the other site. It would also result in a new road network with three two-way streets, a central roadway under the main bridge on Granville Street alignment running down the center, a diagonal roadway under the Seymour Street ramp, and a diagonal street under the Howe and the Seymour Street ramps. The sites are adjacent to several existing high-density residential neighborhoods, including Granville Slopes to the west. I think you can see the writing over here. So Granville Slopes is directly to the west of the site. Beach Neighborhood is to the east of the site. The future Granville Loops neighborhoods are immediately to the north. And then Downtown South is to the northeast and northwest of this area. The existing zoning for these sites is BC Place Expo District to the east of Granville Street and False Creek Comprehensive Development District to the west of Granville Street. In both of these districts, land uses are prescribed, but heights and densities are not. Instead, there are two key city policies that provide guidance on the anticipated form of development for the area. This is the general policy for higher buildings. You can see it applies to the two squares on either side here. And the Under the Granville Bridge Neighborhood Commercial Center Policies and Guidelines, which is the diagonally striped area shown as well. Come on. Seem to be having mouse problems. Next. I can't. There. The policy for higher buildings allows for consideration of buildings in the city's downtown, which significantly exceed their currently zoned heights, with the provision that they do not penetrate council-approved view corridors, with the exception of the Queen Eve corridor, which is a panorama city view. The 1400 block of Howe Street, you can just see it at the bottom corner here, is one of those potential higher building sites with a height of generally 425 feet. Together with a site on the opposite side of the Granville Bridge, just the other square here, is also a higher building site, and the two towers are meant to mark the entry into the downtown from the Granville Bridge. The higher building policy requires that proposals for higher buildings be subject to an enhanced evaluation process to ensure that the application will establish a significant and recognizable new benchmark for architectural creativity and excellence while making a significant contribution to the beauty and visual power of Vancouver's skyline. Any proposal should also advance the city's green objectives for carbon neutrality for new buildings by advancing sustainable design and energy consumption. Other considerations include the achievement of community benefits, on-site open space that represents a significant contribution to the downtown network of green and plaza spaces, and that buildings minimize shadowing and view impacts on the public realm. Next. Mm-hmm. For the lands fronting Granville Street, shown on the slide as sub-area B and 1410 Granville Street, it's these sites shown in brown. The Under the Granville Bridge Neighborhood Center policies and guidelines apply. These policies anticipate a local-serving commercial center with a retail mix anchored by a grocery store and smaller retail and service neighborhood-oriented uses. Active frontages and a high-quality public realm are intended to contribute to pedestrian amenity and visual interest, including outdoor display of goods and sidewalk seating that provides an extension to restaurant and cafe spaces. The application is generally consistent with these two policies. On the larger westerly site, the application proposes a mixed-use development that includes a 52-story residential tower fronting onto Howe Street, so that's the tower right here, with a 9-story podium containing 98 secured market rental units, retail, service, and office uses. That would be the two smaller triangles below the tower. On the triangular sites immediately adjacent to Granville Street, 2 6-story buildings containing retail, service, and office uses are proposed. The buildings have been uniquely shaped in response to their challenging physical context, including the sloping topography and the constraints presented by the Granville Bridge and ramps. As shown on this slide, the proposal embraces these challenges through the insertion of dynamic, triangulated low-rise forms that complement the iconic shape of the proposed tower. In addition, in response to city policies, including the green rezoning policy, the rezoning policy for sustainable large sites, and the policy for higher buildings, the application includes a commitment to a high level of sustainability, particularly with regard to the reduction in energy consumption. The application proposes a public realm design that strives to provide an active and interesting interface with commercial uses while balancing the needs of pedestrian and vehicular movement. The design offers flexibility for potential programming of the street space under the Granville Bridge to accommodate a broad range of activities. The application also proposes a pedestrian connection between the Granville Bridge deck sidewalks to and from the site below. In terms of public consultation, a notification letter and invitations to 2 community open houses were mailed to over 9,000 residents. Approximately 386 people attended the first open house and 403 attended the second. A total of 233 written comments were received, of which over 50% were in favor of the project. There was strong support for the design of the proposal and its sustainability features, and it was felt that with the increased commercial space and the public realm improvements, the proposal would have a transformational effect in the area. Approximately 22% of the respondents were not in support of the application. The most prevalent concerns were with respect to the height of the tower and neighborhood traffic. I'll briefly address these two concerns, which staff assessed as part of the application review process. The higher building policy identifies the site as having a height of generally 425 feet. The proposed tower height is 497 feet to the top of the roof slab. There are no view cones that affect the site. Staff consider 2 key aspects when addressing additional height: the building's contribution to the city's skyline and shadowing impacts generated from the additional height. Staff believe that the additional height proposed provides a stronger emphasis on the Granville Street gateway and that it will not distract from the broader urban design objectives embodied in the high building policy for achieving a legible dome-shaped skyline. And in this image, you can see the downtown skyline as seen from Queen Elizabeth Park. Staff are also satisfied that the shadowing impacts generated from the additional height will not contribute to additional shadowing of public spaces, such as the adjacent May and Lauren Brown Park. As noted, nearby residents have expressed concerns about the potential traffic impacts on the proposal on nearby streets, particularly on Howe Street. While additional traffic volume can be anticipated, staff expect that the roads will continue to function well, with the exception of the westbound left movement from Pacific onto Howe Street, which is currently over capacity. Staff are recommending modifications to the signal at this intersection to address this issue. In addition, the sites are well served by transit, with the C23 bus traveling up Howe Street and on the west side of the site. Granville Bridge accommodates frequent bus service, and the Yaletown Roundhouse Canada Line station is about a 10-minute walk away from here. I would like to conclude with an outline of the public benefits provided by this rezoning. There is no public benefit strategy directly associated with these sites. Instead, in determining the appropriate mix of public benefits for this rezoning, relevant policies, the needs of adjacent neighborhoods, and citywide objectives have been considered. On-site and directly adjacent to the site as an in-kind community amenity contribution, the application proposes public realm improvements valued at about $6 million. The proposed improvements include an enhanced public realm beyond the city standard, including high-quality surface treatments, special lighting, kiosks, and public seating, basic infrastructure to facilitate event programming, and the council-endorsed Great Streets treatment on the south side of Pacific Street. In addition, as previously noted, a pedestrian bicycle connection to provide public access between the sites and the Granville Bridge deck is proposed. The applicant is also offering a cash CAC of $4 million, which staff recommend be allocated to local needs, namely $1 million towards the Granville Bridge Greenway, $1 million towards the Davie Street Village public realm improvements, and $2 million towards the completion of the theater production space at 162 West First Avenue. Finally, a number of citywide objectives are being met through this application. As part of the proposed development, 98 units of secured market rental housing are proposed and will be secured through a housing agreement with the city. It should be noted that this application has not been submitted under the city's rental housing programs and no incentives are being requested. Last but not least, the applicant has offered an allocation of $2 million towards heritage amenity, supporting citywide heritage conservation. This concludes my presentation. I'd like to draw your attention to the yellow memo in your package, which provides revisions to the staff report. Also, should council approve this application, the condition contained in the yellow memo should be adopted. I'm available for questions together with a number of members of the staff team. I'd also like to note that the applicant team is here and is represented by Mr. Bruce Hayden of Dialogue and by Mr. Ian Gillespie of West Bank. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that comprehensive presentation. And we will go to the applicant team. And Mr. Hayden, did you want to lead off with some words from the applicant team?
Sure, thank you. First, just to touch on the team for a moment. We are collaborating architects with Bjarke Ingels Group of Copenhagen and New York, and unfortunately no one from Bjarke Ingels' office could be here because of schedule conflict. But don't misunderstand that this is a project they are dedicated to in a very, very passionate way, and we will absolutely keep them in touch with any of the proceedings tonight. They're really curious about what's going to happen here. Karen's done a very good job of kind of outlining the project. I'm going to touch on a couple of higher level issues quite briefly. First, we've got our team here. She'd mentioned Mr. Gillespie of West Bank is here. We also have our landscape architects, PFS. We have our mechanical engineers and also responsible for sustainability, Integral Group. And we have Peter Joyce of Bunt Engineering, Christopher Cheng, who are responsible for traffic. So those people are all available for questions if we want to get into the project at a slightly higher level of detail. There is a person actually who's not here tonight that I'd really like to acknowledge. Jim Cheng, who I'm sure many of you know very well, was actually the architect on this site a number of years ago. And Jim was actually the one who approached West Bank about the possibility of replacing himself as the architect on this site. And what Jim recognized about this was that the conversation about tall buildings in the city of Vancouver was undergoing a change. And that in part, the city has been criticized, the city has been widely complimented for exemplary urban design. What it hasn't been complimented for so much is the fact that the towers that have been built over the last 20 years have a certain degree of consistency and homogeneity. Jim recognized that to really refresh that, we needed some outside eyes. And I actually don't know any other example of such a high level of professional contribution by actually saying, maybe I'm not the right person to do this. Maybe what we need is someone who's got a world perspective to bring to Vancouver. From our perspective, our firm is founded on design of Granville Island. And for us, this has been an interesting opportunity. I think most of us would say that it's hard to imagine the city without Granville Island. I firmly believe that we're very privileged to work on this one because I think 10 years from now, we'll say exactly the same thing about Beach and Howe. That the city actually won't feel complete without it. It'll be hard to imagine it without it. It's that comprehensive a proposal and that exciting a proposal. And it's a very privileged one for us to work on. Karen touched on the basis of the design very well. I'm going to give a very few highlights. As she mentioned, the site is very constrained. The parcel to the west of the bridge, once you subtract the bridge setbacks, the requirements for servicing the bridge, the need for, importantly, a residential setback from the bridge, and the importance of avoiding shadow on May and Lauren Brown Park, we were left with a very small building site. I don't use the term unbuildable lightly, but it was almost unbuildable. That was triangular in shape. It was BRK's team that had the brilliant and subtle recognition that all of those constraints started to drop off as you moved vertically. And you could, in fact, take the base of the building and transform it into something completely different at the top. And in that way, create a building that was both strikingly iconic and very responsive to a particular site. The other thing that they did is they looked carefully at the history of Vancouver. And interestingly, the history of built and unbuilt Vancouver. And they understood really, really closely exactly how we thought about tall buildings in this part of the world and what they needed to respond to. So it's a building that responds not just to a very specific site, but also to a greater conversation about Vancouver. In terms of the public realm, I absolutely believe that the public realm that we're proposing, it's still a work in progress, will have several characteristics. It'll add to the roster of the public realm in the city of Vancouver. It'll have an extraordinary opportunity to integrate public art in the public realm, specifically by the possibility of using, we've met with the city, we haven't yet tied out how this is going to look, but using the underside of the bridge deck for the display of art and to create a fully integrated art installation. From a sustainability perspective, we're targeting the minimum requirement is LEED Gold. Our objective for both tower and neighborhood is LEED Platinum. We're very close. We're not there yet, but it's extremely close. So the idea would be, as well as being an exemplary example of architectural design, this is an outstanding example of sustainable design. And lastly, what I spoke about at the highest level is what we see as the importance of this building and kind of challenging and transforming the architectural and urban design conversation in Vancouver. But we haven't forgotten that it's a neighborhood. And it's a kind of odd neighborhood in a sense. It's a little isolated. It doesn't have a grocery store. We're going to give them a grocery store. It doesn't have a liquor store. There'll be a liquor store in this development. It doesn't have a full range of restaurants. There'll be restaurants in this development. So all of this will create the kind of critical mass of neighborhood services. That will mean that there are people on the site to create a sense of safety and comfort throughout the day. And it actually will help create a neighborhood. So for us, this building, and this building is being watched globally, by the way. It's on all the architectural websites. We've already won a couple of awards for it. So it will be a building that's both dramatically iconic, but it is not a building that forgets its responsibility to complete a neighborhood. And that's, in our experience, a very rare balance to strike. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hayden. And I will go to Council speaking queue to see if we have questions for staff or the applicant team based on those presentations. Councillor Carr is first.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the presentations. My first question has to do with the height and the height of the building. And I understand that the higher buildings policy talked about an anticipated 425 feet, and this is coming in at 497. What instruction is there in that policy about exceeding the 425 feet that was anticipated?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Anina Malero, Assistant Director of Urban Design in the Planning Department. The high building policy identified this particular site and talked about a range of approximately 425 feet. And as the design evolved, there's no specific instruction to say that it shall be only 425 feet. So part of the design exercise that the applicant went through started to demonstrate to us that a higher building in the range of up to 497 feet still would achieve the broader urban design goals that we want to get out of the pairing of these two sites in this location.
Okay, so no maximums were specified. All right. Regarding the green, environmentally sustainable aspect of the building. I understand it would be come in at LEED Gold with LEED Platinum if it connects to district energy. Right. Has there been any analysis of, in general, the kind of greenness of high-rise glass towers in terms of the glass itself, the even though if it was connected to district energy and the energy at source itself may be highly ranked, what about just the overall energy use of such a building?
Well, there's different ways to measure energy efficiency, and you can do that through a number of different technologies. That's one with, you know, certain kinds of mechanical systems and sources of heating systems like an NEU, but also building envelopes. And building envelopes are starting to move to be far more efficient as well.
Is that the case in this particular?
Yes, they are looking at quite a sophisticated building envelope system.
Okay. That would be interesting to get more about or to have more detail on. In terms of the impacts on traffic, you paid some attention to that because it was certainly a public concern. Describe for me really the impact this building is anticipated to have with 500 units and 800 plus people on especially that corner of Howe and Beach. How are we anticipating to handle the increased traffic? Plus, of course, the increased traffic due to the grocery store, which is good, the restaurants, the business component.
Yeah, I think the applicant stressed one of the important features that we think is that many of the new services contained in the project, I think they referred to as completing the neighborhood. But currently, you know, things like grocery store, drug store, liquor store, a number of those services require trips out of the neighborhood. And so we think in terms of generating traffic, we think that a number of trips that are currently being generated in this area and neighboring areas will actually be decreased as a result of these services. Also, the road network there is very unique in terms of the alignment under the bridge. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple things the project is doing. One is increasing the capacity for left turns from Pacific down Howe, where currently we're seeing some backups, so it will provide some increased capacity there. Also, the ability to use one of the new diagonal roads as well, so that Howe isn't the only access into the neighborhood. So we think that we know that the project will improve the connectivity of the road network in the area. We think the mix of services with the new residential will actually serve to reduce some of the trips that are generated in the area. And we're confident that the applicant's analysis of the traffic impacts are substantial and that they shouldn't be a concern. Okay. I don't know if the applicant's consultant wants to add more, but that's our assessment of their work.
The yeah. Okay, that's great. Thank you. A more complete neighborhood.
Sure.
I have one final question. That is about public input. I noticed that with the series of two open houses and then with the correspondence received since this project has been referred to public hearing, there's been an increasing percentage of supporting letters and emails over the period of, I guess it was February 2012. Well, whatever, from 2012 to now. So each face has had more support. How do you account for, or what do you think is prompting that increasing level of support?
Well, I think there's a lot of information or increasing information out there. A lot of people are very excited about this development. They see this as a very unique unique development in terms of both the tower and the commercial. This came in a couple years ago, so you know there's been increasingly more and more people, I think, hearing about it probably. So a lot of the input or feedback that we've received over time has been very positive, and I just attribute it to greater awareness. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Carr. Councillor Ball.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the architect for his description of the artistic aims of this building, and I know that all Vancouverites are looking for exciting architecture downtown. So I'd like to thank him for being very clear on that. I have a question for staff. A number of years ago, when the thought of building under Granville Island under the Granville Bridge came to the fore in City Council, it was agreed that in every development there would be a performance or cultural amenity space. I can actually still see Mr. Wood writing the memorandum down there. And I'm just wondering, I couldn't find a cultural space in here except for the outdoor, perhaps maybe something under the bridge. And I'm wondering if it's still possible to move forward with the original aims and have something in the development that would assist the community and arts. So that was my first question. And I know that was referred to in some of the questions from the public as well, that there be some arts and culture space in the building.
I'm afraid I'm not aware of that, but we do anticipate. I mean, this is a neighborhood center with an incredible public realm that's being developed, and the opportunities for programming, I think, are exceptional. So there may not be an indoor space, but I think there will be a lot of opportunity for a lot of activities to happen in this location.
Thank you.
And through the chair, I would note that this application will be contributing $2 million towards the completion of the theater on West First, which was identified as having a funding gap. So indirectly, while it's not under the bridge, it's making a significant contribution towards culture in the city.
That's wonderful. That's excellent. And if it is possible to find out the ways that culture can participate in terms of the grounds or anywhere else in the place. And if we could, I can actually find that memo for you, because I think in looking at these buildings, that was something that council all agreed to, which was very important in this area. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, that's all I have for questions, first round of questions. So we will go to our speakers list and hear from public right now. And there are... I have 30 speakers now registered, and I will call at the end if there are any more speakers as well who are present who didn't have an opportunity to register. So first speaker on the list is Dean Maley, and he's followed by Peter Odegaard and Stephen Regan. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, councillors, and thank you for this opportunity to speak in favor of this application this evening. My name is Dean Maley. My wife and I live at 638 Beach Crescent in Vancouver. We moved to Yaletown from West Vancouver 2 years ago because we wanted to experience a more urban lifestyle experience. I attended both open houses on this application before you, and I'm here to speak in favor of it. Overall, we believe this mixed-use project will bring a new vibrancy to the area, and we welcome the new amenities. Currently, this site is an eyesore in our community. It's not a particularly nice property to walk around any day, any time of day or night. We're pleased that Westbank's proposal is not just a condo tower, but that it includes other uses as well that will benefit our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is underserved by retail shops and services. The convenience of a local grocery store, drugstore, and other services within easy walking distance is appealing to us. We applaud the design team for their innovative approach to reactivating the space under the Granville Bridge. In a city where it's been known to rain from time to time, I think it's very creative to take advantage of the existing bridge infrastructure and to create a public space that will be sheltered from the weather. I understand Westbank intends to commission public art for this area, and I think it will be critical to the success of this public space. Finally, we couldn't be happier with the overall aesthetics of the proposal, from the ground level landscaping to the unusual retail spaces to the twisting tower. This is no doubt, it is a beautiful design. Although construction will come with its pains, we think the final project will be well worth the temporary inconvenience. I would encourage council to consider some temporary traffic changes in the neighborhood during construction, if you approve this application, to mitigate the ingress and egress from our community, which is already extremely congested during afternoon rush hour periods. But overall, we are very supportive of this project and would love to see it move forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Maley. Questions from Councillor Carr?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just one quick question.
Yes.
I wonder if you wouldn't mind either outlining now or communicating to our staff the temporary changes that you think might work for traffic in any, if this is approved, in any interim capacity.
I've thought about that a little. One was already mentioned this evening by staff, which is adding a dedicated left-hand turn lane westbound on Pacific down to Howe. A second might be turning Hornby Street in that 1400 block into a two-way street and eliminating metered parking during the construction period. It would not require eliminating the bike lane. It would just eliminate the meter parking and turn that into a two-way street during construction. And perhaps a third is a traffic or construction vehicle management plan on Howe Street during rush hour, during that 3 to 6 period in the afternoon.
Okay, I'm sure that our staff are taking note of those suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all your questions. Thanks for coming. Peter Odegaard, next speaker.